well, I better do this first. Otherwise, I get in trouble. Well, again, I bring you greetings from Cadillac. It was snow all the way, but the Lord watched over me the whole way down. And as I was telling Charlie and Dennis earlier, I was just singing Jesus Take the Wheel and shaking my fist at everybody because they didn't understand the sovereignty of God. So just get out of my way. I got somewhere to be, and God's going to get me there. But title of the message we have for you this morning is Unclean, Unable, Guilty, Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, verse 6 through 7. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But I'd like to stop there and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, Father, I thank you for so much today. I thank you for Jesus, especially, and first and foremost. I thank you for the safe travels, Father. I thank you how you have brought me here, Father, to preach your word. But Father, I confess, unless you fill me up by your Spirit, unless you enable me, Father, I'm just a man reading notes. And Father, without your Spirit, I can't preach your word in a way that is pleasing to you or profitable to your people, Father. I ask and beg your mercy that in spite of me and in spite of my failures, Father, that you would fill me up by your Spirit, Father, to preach your word, that you'd open the hearts of the hearers to receive your word, Father. Father, I just ask for your blessing today. Father, I ask you to be with Brother Dan, that you'd give him liberty to preach at Zor, that you'd be with Ryan back at my church, Father, and that you'd fill him up, Father, by your Spirit as well, Father. Father, that you'd watch over each one traveling today. Father, that you'd bless those that have braved the weather to come and be in your house on your day, Lord. And I just ask, Father, that you would, again, cause me to be able to bless your people, Father. I can bring out nothing from your word without you. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. But man's fallen condition as a whole is well encapsulated in these two verses. Sin has caused man to be an unclean, vile creature before a holy and pure God. Man is unable under his own force and ability to seek after God, to fix the broken fellowship between man and God. And man is fully guilty because of his iniquity, his lawlessness, his sinful nature, and actions. We will consider these three points. But first of all, unclean. There in verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. Leviticus 15. Verse 19 and then verse 25. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Mark chapter 5. Verse 24 through 30. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? But consider, as we consider these things, understand these are all pictures of your condition if you're lost today. These are all pictures of where you are without Jesus Christ. If you are lost today, you are unclean before the eyes of a pure and holy God. You are unclean. You will never dwell in the presence of God in your current condition if you are lost today. If you have never had that forgiveness in Christ, you are unclean. You are. And so understand, this is a picture. These things that we read in the gospel accounts, these are pictures of sin and pictures of salvation. Notice all of these, when they come to that place where they realize, I don't have it, I can't fix it, I can't do it, but I know who can. Notice, every one of these picture the gospel, every one of these picture the good news of Jesus Christ, that I don't have it, but He does. I don't have what I need to fix this, but He does. So we see the uncleanness of man, his natural state, that in his by his fallen nature, he is unclean. But the uncleanness of the issue of blood separated this woman for 12 years. And when she came to the end of herself, she knew she must get to Jesus. Our uncleanness has separated us from God. But notice, sin has caused you to be separated. It's caused you to be cast out. It's caused you to have to dwell alone. Sin has driven you out. Sin has driven you out of the presence of God, just as it did Adam and Eve. They were driven out of the garden. Man is unclean and cannot dwell in the presence of God. He is cast out. He is unclean. Leviticus 13. Verse 42 through 46. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leopard in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1 through 3 of Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Again, notice how the uncleanness of this leper caused him to be cast out. This is a picture of sin. This is a picture of your natural state, where you are without Jesus Christ. If you are lost today, you are unclean before God. You are cast out of His presence, and if you stand before Him one day without Jesus Christ, you will be cast out forever from His presence. Understand, you are natural. Natural. When I say naturally, that means you didn't do anything. You don't have to do anything. You're born this way. You're born a sinner. You are born with the sin nature. You didn't do anything to one day become unclean. You're already unclean. Don't get sucked into this idea that, well, maybe if I just do enough good, it's too late. It's too late. You are born with that nature that is sinful. You are born in trespasses and sins. Don't get sucked into this lie. Don't get sucked into this lie of your deceitful heart that if I just do enough good, I'll outweigh the bad. That's a lie. That's a lie. You are born dead in trespasses and sins. You are unclean. Point two, back in our text of Isaiah. Point two, unable. Verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Ephesians chapter 2. We just touched on it, but we'll read it. verse 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, that is, make alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Understand what this is saying. Even, saved or lost, we've all started here. We were all here. If you've been quickened, at one point you were dead, see? So if, even if the saved today were dead in trespasses and sins at one point in their life before the Lord came and quickened them, before he saved them, before he made them alive, where he made, gave them spiritual life that they might see that they're unclean and unable and guilty. He made them spiritually alive that they saw their need, that they needed Jesus, see? So understand, lost or saved, we've all been here. We've all been here. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, by nature. That means you don't have to try. It's already normal and natural to you. You're already unclean and unable and guilty. You're already there. It is by nature. You're already in this condition. John chapter 5. Verse 1 through 8. And this, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. See this man's inability. He was unable to fix this problem. He had no man, and he could not get to the water. He could, you know, that, again, the perverted doctrines of the day would have you meet God halfway. You know, they'd have you pray some prayer, choose Jesus, ask him into your heart, whatever, however they want to put it. You know, they would have you do your part to meet God halfway. God has to come all the way. We are completely unable. We are completely dead in trespasses and sins, see? Unable. You don't have it, see? You can't meet God halfway. Jesus came to where this man was at, because this man couldn't get there. This man was unable. Jesus came to him. And if you're lost, that's what you need. You need Jesus to come to you. You need Jesus to come the whole way across that gap to you. You can't meet him halfway. You're completely unable. John chapter 11. Verse 32 through 44. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. We're considering the inability of man. What could Lazarus do to get up out of that grave? You know, again, this gives the lie to this idea of a decisional type salvation, of a choose Jesus, of a open, you know, receive Jesus into your heart kind of thing. Choose him, whatever. What could Lazarus do? He's been dead 4 days. And consider, this is a picture. That's what the gospel accounts are for. That you might see yourself. That you might see your inability. That you might see that without Jesus, I have no hope. See? Lazarus didn't ask Jesus into his heart. Lazarus didn't decide to get up out of that grave. He was dead. Jesus came to Lazarus and raised him out of that grave. It wasn't based upon what Lazarus did. Man is completely incapable. Man does not have it. You don't have it. Point three, guilty, back in Isaiah. Verse 7 of Isaiah 64. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because, and here's why, of our iniquities. Guilty. It's our iniquities. Guilty. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10 through 20. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You are guilty by your iniquities. Consider what it says there in verse 19 and 20. The law was not given that you might save yourself. The law was given so you might see that you are guilty. The law was given so that it might show you it's too late. I've already broken these laws. You know, and something to consider in the book of James, I don't have it in my notes here, but in the book of James, it talks about how if you've broken the law once, you've broken the whole law. And so consider what that's saying. If you've broken the law, you're a lawbreaker. It's as plain as that. You know, so often today, people get caught up in this idea that I'm not that bad. That is a lie of your heart. That your heart will tell you that. I'm not that bad. Why should God condemn me to hell? I'm not that bad. You know, and I liken it this way. And I've been trying to talk, you know, I'm talking to my oldest, my 11-year-old. I've been talking to him and I'm saying, and I'm explaining to him that. If you've broken the law, once you're a lawbreaker. So we get talking about things. And so I talk to him, I say, so if you told one lie, you're a lawbreaker. You're guilty. And he's, you know, and so God will condemn you to hell for that. And, you know, to him that seems awful, you know, rash or awful. Man, wow, that's for one, you know, that just doesn't seem right in his eyes. So I say, okay, we take a man and he lived a perfect sinless life all his life, except he only committed one murder. Just one murder. You know, I mean, that'd be like going, you know, what if you were to go into a courtroom and the judge says, well, this man's lived a really good life. He's only committed one murder. I think we'll let him off. See, understand, God is a righteous judge. If you are a lawbreaker, you are a lawbreaker. It's that plain. It isn't, he doesn't weigh things. He doesn't say, well, lying's not, you know, sin is sin. Sin is sin. See, understand, if you've broken the law, you are a lawbreaker. The point of the law is to reveal to you, you need a Savior. It's not that you might save yourself. Read that. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. It is so that all the world may be guilty before God, that they might understand it, that they might have the knowledge of sin. The law reveals to them, I am guilty, and I need a Savior. The law has caused all that are under the law to be condemned as guilty. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20 and verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Numbers 35. Verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. So notice it must be carried out. When the law was broken to the point of death, that must be carried out by the mouth of two or three witnesses. One man could not condemn someone to be stoned to death. Now turn to John chapter 8. Verse 1 through 11. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted him up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Notice a couple things in this account. First, we considered in Numbers there that no one could be put to death except by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Understand when reading this account, Jesus did not find a loophole. He didn't go around the law here. He didn't do something outside of his own law. She could not be condemned to death because the witnesses went out. See, her accusers could not stand in the presence of Christ. Understand that. Your accusers, if you're saved by the grace of God today, your accusers cannot stand in the presence of Jesus. You have been declared innocent through him, and your accusers cannot stand in his presence. But also notice something else about this woman, because we're considering the guilt of man. This woman never, ever tries to deny. You go and talk to somebody, or watch a courtroom show or any of that kind of garbage today. People are always lying. People are always saying, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. But notice this woman never denies her guilt. She is fully guilty. She is fully guilty. No question of guilt. There was no question of guilt here. But her accusers could not stand in the presence of Christ. But man is completely broken by sin. He has nothing good to produce before God. By his uncleanness, inability, and guilt, he has no hope of salvation in himself. Man needs a substitute, one who is clean, one who is able, and one who is innocent. But we've considered how man is unclean, how he's unable, he is unable, and he is guilty. And if you've never seen that, lost or saved. I mean, even if you have a profession, if you've never seen yourself as unclean and unable and guilty before God, I would strongly question if you really have what you say you have. If the Lord didn't show you that, if you didn't realize how deserving of hell you were, I would say that there's some self-examination is needed. You know, there's something I heard once, and it's a good thing to communicate. Doubts will never damn you, but presumptions will. Doubts will never damn you. It's, you know, there are many different places in the Scripture where it advises us to be sure, essentially. Examine yourselves. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's another one about make your calling and election sure. So see, we are admonished different times throughout Scripture. Be sure that what you say you have is truly what you have. See, if you've never seen yourself as unclean, unable, or guilty, I would have to question whether or not you really have what you say you have. It is good for us who are saved to examine ourselves. And, you know, I mean, did grace teach you anything? Was there a change in a dramatic change? Did it take you, like myself, did it take you from a bartender to a Baptist preacher? Did it change your life? Did you go from vile and in the world to saved and on walking the path of God and a whole new life? Are you a new creature in Christ? Do you have that? Do you have that? Because that was me. That was me. I mean, there are people that have heard my testimony up to Traverse City. They heard about all the years I spent as a drunk in the bar, day after day. I mean, I wasn't just going in there on the weekends. I was in there every day. In there so much that I got to know the owners. And they said, since you're here all the time, you want to tend the bar for us? So they started, because I was there all the time anyways, I was such an awful, rotten drunk, I was in the bar all the time. They made me a bartender. Did your salvation make such a drastic change that it would take you from a bartender to a Baptist preacher? I mean, is that your, do you have that? Do you have a miracle? Do you have that? Do you have that? Because it should be a miracle. Even if you weren't in the world like me, even if you were raised in the pews, it should be a miracle. And there should have been a time when God revealed to you that you are unclean, you are unable, and you are guilty. And I need a Savior because I can't do it. I don't have it. I need someone to come and rescue me. Do you have that? So finally, now let us consider Jesus. He is clean. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Consider, he is without blemish and without spot. He is clean. He is absolutely clean before God. He is not unclean as we are. He is clean. You need Jesus. You need him as your substitute because he is clean. Second of all, he is able. 2 Timothy. 1:9-12. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Jesus is able. We are unable. We can't fix it. We can't save ourselves, but he is able. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is able. Consider his ability. When he had by himself purged our sins. He needed no help from man. When he had by himself purged our sins. Jesus is able. He is innocent. John 15. John 15, verse 20 through 25. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. There is no cause against Christ. They hated Christ without a cause. He is completely innocent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Again, Jesus is innocent. He is innocent. He knew no sin. In Acts chapter 3. Verse 13 through 15. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Again, he denied the Holy One, the Innocent One, and granted the murderer. Jesus is innocent. So finally, after we've considered the guilt, the unclean and inability and guilt of man, and we consider Jesus and his cleanness, his innocence, and his ability. But preacher, I'm guilty, but he is innocent. What good is that to me? Jeremiah 23. Verse 5 through 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Understand, if you're lost today, you can have Jesus' righteousness instead. You can have him as your righteousness. You can take hold of him by faith. You can repent. You can turn away from yourself and look to Jesus and have his righteousness. Because yours won't do. You don't have any. You don't have any. If we've not painted that picture correctly, you are unclean, you are unable, and you are guilty already. You're born in that state. But you can have Jesus' righteousness. You can take hold of his righteousness. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14 and 15, and then we'll close. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Jesus says to repent and believe. What is there to repent? What is repentance? It is a turning away from sin and self and towards God. We've considered the condition that man is in. Consider you are unclean, unable, and guilty. You must cast that all aside, turn away from that, and be disgusted with that, and turn to God and look for salvation in Jesus Christ. Take hold of His righteousness and forsake your own, because you don't have any. So many people today think they can do enough good. No, you can't. You are unclean, you are unable, and you are guilty. But if you would turn away from any hope in that, throw it to the dunghill as Paul, turn toward God and believe the gospel, see? Believe that Jesus came and died on your behalf. He is clean, He is innocent, He is able. You must turn to Him in repentance and faith. Look to Him. He can save you from the condition that you are currently in. But we'll stop there. And brother, would you come and lead us in a verse of song?